Live from the city that works, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720
WGN.
Oh, it's Jason Kokrak and David Hernlock. Those are the two guys that were good enough to donate their time yesterday. They're two of the top 70 golfers in the world playing in the FedEx Cup playoffs, the BMW Championship out of Conway Farms today. Gets underway, and also want to really thank the Freedom Golf Association. This is a cool organization. E.Q. Sylvester is the guy that started this just about a year or so ago. After playing almost all of the top 20 courses in the United States and world-renowned courses all over the world, and just being a certifiable golf nut, through a series of health concerns, he became a triple amputee in 2011. So he goes to the Rehab Institute. And then through the course of recovery, he tries to hit some golf balls at a local range. The owner of the range said, well, what are you trying to do there? And he said, well, I'm trying to hit golf balls, and I don't have any feet, and I've got one hand. Asked if he was getting any help, EQ replied that he wasn't, and that was his first step towards starting the Freedom Golf Associations, which its mission at Freedom Golf is pretty simple, and that is to give kids the joy of golf no matter what their concerns are, and kids with special needs get included in the game. So it's a nice thing. And if you're interested in helping them out, I hope you will. Go to fgagolf.org. That's FGA, Freedom Golf Association, fgagolf.org. It's a good guy.
And didn't you say the kids ask better questions than the adults?
Well, adults didn't ask any questions.
kids
ask great questions.
Kids are interested, yeah.
Oh. And at the end, we turned it into see if you can hit the guy with the range picker, the guy driving around picking up the range balls.
It's a great way to teach accuracy.
It's a good point, Dave. It's very true on what you just said there. All right, let me explain this woman from Hawaii, if I can. There's a woman in Hawaii who has been asked to change her name because her name is too long, legally too long, to put on the IDs. Her last name is, let me count these up here, that's 7, 11, 14, 18, 22, 24, 28, 31, 34 letters in her last name. Her last name is Kehana Aikakua Kahihuihi Kahuna Ele.
You do that very well.
Yeah.
Let me spell it for you. Kehana Aikakua Kahihuihi Kahuna Ele. Her last name came up on Wheel of Fortune. Vanoite quit.
You know, you got to feel bad because, you know, when they take attendance as a kid, they call you by your last name.
Yeah.
You imagine every day the poor teacher having to call that last name?
Janice. Kehana Aikakua Kahawihi Kahahuna Ele.
Here.
But how, at some point, you know, names evolve like everything else. And at some point, generationally, doesn't somebody go, why don't we cut it off at Kehana Aikakua Kahawihi? Why do we need the last 14 letters?
Darlis was shortened. A lot of Greek names when people.
What was your original name?
Papagannakopoulos.
Hold on a second.
No, I'm serious.
No, wait. I'm not.
If you get Darlis out of that.
Yeah, exactly. There's no Darlis in Papagannakopoulos.
I know, but that's what it originally was when my grandfather came over from Kalamata.
Well, isn't that a salad dressing, Kalamata?
The olive. It's an olive.
Oh, it's an olive.
Your last name should be Andrea Papa.
No.
But how does Papagannakopoulos turn into Darlis?
It just did. I don't know. I wasn't at Ellis Island.
My grandpa's last name was Papakavich, and now it's Powell.
Oh, yeah. See?
Papakavich turns into Powell.
Yeah, but it's not like they abbreviated or anything. They just decided an easier name.
Yeah, they just cut it.
Yeah.
What was Samuelson originally?
Samuelson in Norway was Rose.
You people See? Are all making this up.
Rose or Rhodes?
Rose, R-O-S-E.
How does Rose become Samuelson?
Well, because when his son, well, it was Samuel Rose, and when his son Ole, there really is an Ole. When his son came to Ellis Island.
Right, and then Lena walked into a bar, and then all hell broke loose.
Yeah, and it happened from there. But anyway, they couldn't understand him, and finally he said, I am Ole, Samuel's son.
So that's where Samuel's son came from.
That's where many of the Scandinavian names that have an S-O-N on the end came from.
What if Cap walked in at that point, and his name became Cap Idiot?
Ward and Cock? Is Cochran... Cochran, or was it shortened from something?
Who knows? You know,
Cochranoropoulos.
No, it's a mutt. It's a Northern European mutt name. That's all it is, Cochran. So, where most of us are Northern European mutts. And you don't want to shorten Cochran. You could have all sorts of troubles.
Absolutely.
Janice ke hana aikakua kaha hui hi kaha hona ele. My favorite name of the day.
Are there any others in her family?
Yeah, there's Janice's sister, Betty. Betty Kehana Aikakua Kahe Hui Hi Kahahuna Ele.
Sorry I asked.
So, it's Kim and Cindy. 616. Mary, is Vandeveld like the deal, or did you change that from Smith?
It's the deal. It means from the field in Belgian.
You know, Mary's last name is like Smith, and when I was in Belgium, this, Mary? It was elections, and they happened to be handing out flyers.
So
you
there's
know?
Vandevelds everywhere?
Oh, everywhere in Belgium.
Everybody on the ballot was a Vandeveld.
Yeah. It's a very common name.
People are all
in
making
Belgium.
This up.
I am not.
You're all making it up. Time now for your traffic.
Jealous because you don't have a cool name.
Kind of. Time for your traffic update. Here's Mary. Jackson from Harvard, Jackson Papagonikopoulos apparently, from Harvard, winner of the Blackhawks training camp festival tickets. And we'll have some more of those to give away a little bit later on. Standing by for the guest we mentioned earlier. If we don't get the guest, then we'll move on to Plan B. And Plan B will be a second bit of gambling on the show this morning, which apparently is turning into a bunch of ideas. Degenerate itinerant gamblers here.
Well, who suggested that?
Yeah. Well, Dave, the drinker. So
you can't say things like that, Steve.
I kind of did.
Yeah, you did.
There is a story. You brought this up in the news, Andrea. There was a story yesterday that broke, and I kind of thought it was a joke, but apparently it's not. 105 days till Christmas, mm-hmm. and Kmart started airing Christmas commercials yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? Some of the stores, too, have already started putting out wrapping paper, even ahead of Halloween.
I love Christmas music. I love Christmas. But I truly do get tired of the redundancy of it when it starts too early. It's like anything else. It's not special if it's going on all year.
Some of the businesses, as Orion usually mentions every year, and I think Nordstrom is one, they'll put up signs saying, we are not going to put up any holiday decorations until after Thanksgiving.
Very few anymore because that holiday selling season makes her, that's why they call it Black Friday. It makes or breaks their year.
This is an interesting gamble, I think, because I would think there'd be some pushback where people might not be inclined to go to Kmart because they think it's ridiculous that you would start the Christmas season this early.
And I would be one of them.
Yeah. So would I.
Way too early.
It's the layaway program that they're promoting in these commercials. But it's, think about this. It is now 11 weeks till Thanksgiving.
No.
It's 11 weeks to Thanksgiving and then 4 more till Christmas.
We should deep fry a turkey. Don't you think? Maybe not in studio. I don't know if Jimmy would like that, but maybe right out in the front.
Do one of those beer can turkeys, like a beer can chicken. It's a really good.
Kevin can just pour beer on it throughout the whole show. He can
stick the beer up the turkey butt.
I'd love to do that.
That'd be fun. Like a turkey roast.
For people just turning the radio on that heard that sentence, stick the beer up the turkey butt.
The beer can. Sorry, I forgot the word can.
There's something very wrong going on here. All right, let's do this at 6:25. Pam Citrenbaum, Executive Director at the Chicago Innocence Project. And by the way, Pam, I'm a very big fan of what you guys do, so congratulations on all of that.
Well, thank you. I'm a fan of what you do.
That's nice of you to say. And this scourge of what John Burge and his crew were able to do for a long time, I mean, it's more than just an $80 million price tag and climbing. A lot of these people's lives were ruined, right?
Well, absolutely. It's I think technically, according to Fran Spielman at the Sun-Times, she added it all up. I think it's $99.5 million. So just now we're talking real money. Right? Like we say in Chicago.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's one of those things where, and you know, and the mayor's apology is certainly appropriate. And the mayor wasn't here. He didn't do it. But as
Correct.
A representative of the city, it's certainly appropriate for him to apologize. But the apology continues to come in the form of big money here. I would think at the bare minimum here, Pam, that there would be a top-to-bottom look at what's going on with how these crimes are investigated and how detectives treat suspects going forward. Man, I'm the biggest fan of cops. I will say, if you got a bad guy that you need to get a story out of, and he is a bad guy, then do it. But these guys were literally torturing these people for, in some cases, days on end.
Well, right, absolutely. You make about a million really excellent points. The first thing is, and you know, look, if there's someone threatening me, I'm 911. I'm calling the police. Yep. It's not in any way that I am, you know, against the criminal justice system in general, or that cops need to get the bad guys. I think the problem is that I mean, there are multiple layered problems. The problem is the culture where cops, number one, and it's the whole sort of the whole system, but the system is made up of people. So you've got people, cops and prosecutors, who there's no deterrent. There's absolutely no deterrent for this. I mean, let's just look at John Burge. John Burge, literally, right? I mean, this was a terrorizing, and not just him, his minions, within a culture. It was really in a larger culture of get the guy at all costs, and use literally methods that we will invade other countries to stop them from doing.
Right.
Right? This is what they're doing here. The other thing, of course, is money. Like, follow the money. This is all at taxpayer expense, and this is the thing that I think a lot of people don't get. Some folks think, hey, you know, this ain't about me. But you know what? We're talking about millions and millions of dollars paid by to the special prosecutor when we have 400 corporation counsel attorneys who are already being paid on the payroll, and yet we're paying millions of dollars to Stuart Noodleman and his team of attorneys, private, fancy attorneys, who are delaying.
By delaying, running up billable hours, I assume?
You better believe it.
Yeah.
You better believe it. So, you know, think about every school closed, you know, this is not private money. This is our money. And it's stunning. I mean, the numbers are stunning, the moral implications, the ethical implications. We've got probably about 120 cases pending, and probably maybe a dozen or more are demonstrably innocent. Right?
Absolutely.
Right? So sort of reforms, obviously, right? We want an investigation. We want a county board investigation. Tony Preckwinkle, set it up. Let's do it. Let's have hearings and figure out what's going on.
And are you getting cooperative?
I'm calling for it. I'm calling for it right now.
Oh, well, I like the fact that you're calling for it right now. I'll be happy to help you call for it.
And we'd invite
Tony on the air anytime to talk about it as well, or give us a good reason why it's not happening, because it's not like we're flush with cash, kids. And I think it's an important point to make, too, that it's $100 million in settlements. It really is a small amount that trickles down to the victims, right? Relatively speaking.
Right. I mean, of course. Well, then there's that whole sort of moral, ethical area of what really is payment and what really is compensation and what matters. And very few. I mean, I know it seems in Chicago like, oh, every other day some guy's getting, you know, $10 million. Very, very few nationwide of these exonerees are getting compensated, and even fewer are getting compensated at that level. I mean, we happen to be super good at wrongfully convicting people. So we are better right now at publicly compensating. And I do want to thank the mayor. An apology. I've so many exonerees will tell you one part of the healing is a genuine apology.
Sure.
Yeah, we were totally screwed, and
right.
We as people in power, as people who abused power, even if you're not the one who did it, it wasn't this mayor. I'm saying to you, it wasn't this mayor.
Right. Right. No, I understand. I understand the implication. But I'm also saying, I do want to make sure that people can wrap their heads around the fact, too, that when you go through the kind of torture that these victims went through, all you have is the hope for justice and a chance to put your life back on track and an apology. That's all you get. And in that hope for justice, Burge goes away for a few years. That's not enough. So a payment to try to reestablish my life, I think, is completely appropriate. And by the way, I've never sued anybody in my life. I've testified in a couple of lawsuits. I'm no fan of lawsuits, but there are times where it's a perfectly appropriate and the only thing to do.
Well, absolutely, and literally the only thing to do. And also, you know, right? Money is how folks listen.
Right.
Right? I mean, money is how folks listen. It gets publicity. It gets taxpayers rightfully interested. It just occurred to me, I forgot to say, and I really want to say it because this really pisses me off, is that John Burge in federal prison is still getting his police pension.
Yeah, I know.
$3,000 a month. Just saying, $3,000 a month.
No, it's outrageous. It's outrageous.
You and me. So let's call I think the Attorney General is taking a look at that. But you know what? Let's stop that. Let's create some deterrence, right? Let's not reward folks. And let's, you know, send the message to other officers who are tempted to clear cases because, you know, the logic is that this guy didn't do this. He did something else. Come on, man. He's a bad guy. He hangs with bad guys. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole make a deterrent. If you are punished for it, right? Because really, it means the real guy is still out there. That's the other thing, right?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, and $100 million for a broke city ought to be a deterrent. All right, I'm late here, but give me the Chicago Innocence Project website.
www.chicagoinnocenceproject.org.
I just wish you were more passionate about this stuff, Pam. You know,
I know. You know, everyone says I'm
just wish you'd get
I'm
fired up
back.
A little bit. All right, let me put you on hold, and Pam will be back a lot because I like what she does and I like what her people do. Chicago Innocence Project. It is 6:32, and big shocker, we're late here. We got to get this train back on track, and it's up to you, Andrea, to do it.
Now the Steve Cochran Show continues live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, 720
WGN.
He says they don't ride them like they used to. He used plastic, doing the butt. Yeah, the butt, DABUTT. Come on, oh, you know the words.
I don't. No, I haven't really listened.
I was getting to a point eight shows in where he's trying to decide if he missed me or not. If you're a parent of a kid that plays sports, you're probably a parent because that's just about every kid. And because of that, there's been an increased concern most recently about concussions. And it's a rightful concern. Well, concussions are far from the only injury. As a matter of fact, I would argue that it's a lesser injury than most. And some of the other stuff we don't pay attention to is extremely important. And part of it is the emphasis on kids' sports now. So we're glad to have Dr. Eric Shahab join us. Dr. Shahab, tell everybody where you work.
Good morning. I work at Illinois Bone and Joint and North Shore University Health System in Evanston and Glenview.
Got something for my knees, or are we talking about kids here?
I may have something for your knees.
Okay, just checking. There's an emphasis. I don't know how old you are, doctor, but I'm 52. And when I was a kid growing up, I played four sports. Five sports. I played baseball, golf in the spring, played basketball or football in the fall, maybe a little hockey. You spread it around. And there might be a common sense thought that by doing that, well, you're just multiplying your chance of injuries. But there's some interesting data now that says focusing on one sport for an entire year with the overemphasis on travel teams and practices and constant going and things of that nature, we're really messing with kids' joints, I guess, right?
That's correct. That model of varying the sports and cross-training essentially is very important for the developing skeleton. And once you begin to specialize in one sport year-round, there is a significant increase risk of injury. The repetitive use injuries have been skyrocketing over the past decade, and we do think it's a result of the professionalization of youth sports.
So when you say the professionalization of youth sports, is it as simple as, well, my kid might be a pro someday, so I'm going to get him a coach, and I'm going to just make sure they practice every day, and I'm going to just make it, you know, a several-hour commitment every day?
You know, I think that may be part of it, but just a small part of it. I think, in fact, you know, every parent is well-intentioned. They want the best for their kids. The coaches are well-intentioned. But there's just been an increased emphasis on playing one sport year-round at a younger and younger age. And I think the forces behind this are multiple. I think, again, the coaches may have more at stake. The parents may have more at stake in terms of college scholarships. I don't even think pros are necessarily the goal for most people. I think parents just want to see their kids excel as well. And so the idea of specializing at a younger age may be a thought of how to get better at something. Yet doing that increases the risk for injury. And I don't think that that's something that many parents know about.
Now, when you talk about the professionalization of sports in a manner like this, I think about all the time that I coached, and my emphasis was always to parents that this isn't about you. This is about your kid learning how to compete and your kid having fun. Have we sucking the fun out of this, too, by forcing these kids to play one sport all the time?
You know, the data suggests that perhaps we are. About 70% of kids under the age of 13 drop out of organized sports. And that's a pretty scary statistic. We are having our kids play sports because of the benefits of sports, the value of teamwork, the value of camaraderie, the value of fitness, habits that they'll have for life. Sports can teach valuable lifelong lessons. And yet if 70% of kids are dropping out of organized sports by age 13, it seems to indicate that there's some sort of burnout going on, and we do see that at the high school level.
I want to ask you about some of the specific sports we see in the fall. This is the peak season, right? Fall sports?
Fall's a very, very busy
season. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Doctor, hold on 1 second. We'll come back and talk a little more and tell you more about how you may be able to get some help, get some resources involved in this as well, and maybe listen a little more to your kid and what they need. Not that you're a bad person or a bad parent, but we get so wrapped up in sports, Mary, that we kind of lose sight of what really is important.
I know. I think high school sports is being hurt right now by all the travel and club sports.
Oh. Well, there's no time for anything. There's no time for family. There's no time for, you know.
Yeah, but kids need to be organized, too. And they do better when they are organized in school, I believe.
Well, you're probably right. I mean, you usually are. North Shore University's health system orthopedic surgeon, sports medicine subspecialist Dr. Eric Shahab, giving us a little education on sports injuries in kids. What are you seeing more, knees, hands, elbows, a little of everything?
You know, you see a little bit of everything. The most common types of injuries are stress fractures around the shin and around the hip. We see ligament injuries to the knee and the shoulder. We also see an awful lot of growth plate injuries, and these typically happen around the shoulder and elbow. And finally, we can see bone and cartilage injuries in any of the joints, but most commonly in the knee and the elbow. And so there are a variety of injuries that we're seeing.
Hockey has exploded thanks to the Blackhawks. Is there an increase in hockey injuries? It seems like that would follow.
You know, hockey injuries are relatively constant just because of the nature of the contact sport.
Right.
But USA Hockey doesn't promote year-round participation, which is a good thing. They do recommend cross-training, doing other sports during the off-season. And that's the type of thing that the organizations among most of the other sports should also be advocating.
Soccer is always big, especially with little kids. But soccer, finally, after all these years, seems to be getting a foothold as a major, major youth sport. You know, it doesn't just come and go in sort of fad form. And I think soccer is one of the more dangerous sports, and we rarely talk about it.
You know, there are significant injuries that can occur in soccer. Probably the most common and the least appreciated is concussions in soccer. Now, obviously, there's been an increased awareness of concussions due to football, but soccer probably has one of the highest concussion rates of all the sports.
So with all of this, as a doctor, you know, I mean, you have people coming to you, sure, you're going to bandage them up, fix them up, operate on, do whatever. But you don't want them to come back unless they're coming by to say hi and you know, and shake your hand. So what's your frustration? What do you see too many times, maybe even over and over again, where you just want to wring somebody's neck?
I don't know if I ever want to wring anybody's neck. I mean, again, I think every parent is well-intentioned. I think the coaches are well-intentioned. But these overuse injuries are preventable, and that's the key point. And there are some prevention tips that I think parents ought to know. And one is that every kid should have a day off a week and a month off a year. And secondly, as we've been talking about, varying the sports year-round is important. It's important to be cross-training. It's important to be using different joints, different muscle groups during the year. And then finally, we typically try to stress to parents, and this is very difficult, to do one sport per season and one league per sport. Now, I'm not talking about playing tennis on Tuesday and soccer practice on Thursday and maybe basketball on Saturday. I'm talking about the sports where they have 4 to 5 day week commitments that overlap, and all of a sudden your kid is playing 5 to 6 days of soccer and 5 to 6 days of volleyball or another sport. And when they're overlapping like that, it's just a terrible setup for injury, and we see it over and over and over again because of this emphasis on sports to be played year-round.
Well, that's good information, Doc. I hope we can talk to you again about it as time rolls on here. And what's hurting on you today? You got a knee issue? You got something like
everything. You know, I played sports myself, and I've had a couple of injuries. I don't think there were overuse injuries. But, look, there's information that can be found for parents on the StopSportsInjuries.org website.
Okay.
This was set up by the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine in 2007 because we were seeing it. an epidemic of youth sports injuries, and I don't think epidemic is too strong a word. And the motto for Stop Sports Injuries, the campaign, is keeping kids in the game for life.
There you go.
And, yeah, and they have on their website injury prevention tip sheets for nearly every sport for the parents. So, again, it's stopsportsinjuries.org. Lots of injury prevention tips for parents. And I think it's a very valuable resource and a timely resource because of the epidemic of sports injuries that we're seeing.
And what about you, Doc? Are you stretching? I don't want to worry about you. You know, I feel like we had a good conversation here. Doc, stretch, really. Stretching is the key. That's what I
find.
My best.
I basically go to my kids' sports like every other parent, and I you know, worry about them getting hurt. We try and vary it as parents. But even, you know, even knowing what we know, my wife and I still face the pressures of other parents of our kids being asked to do more and more for a single sport.
Dave, do you have any questions for the doctor before we let him
well,
go?
Well, you know, and I think this kind of ties in with what he's talked about, which is the year-round sports and seeing kids playing fall baseball now. And I just wonder if a kid has pitched all summer and played a rigorous travel schedule during the summer and now he's playing fall ball, how much strain is that putting on a kid's arm?
No, it's a ton. You know, it turns out that kids who pitch more than or throw more than 8 months out of a year have a significantly increased risk for injury. And so sometimes the best thing you can do for your kid's baseball career is have them play soccer or football during the fall.
Mix it up. That's the key. Mix it up. By the way, Dave is not on a pitch count, Doc. He's on a sportscast count because we don't want him.
Right.
We don't want him to get stressed and strained here either. It's Dr. Eric Shahab. Thank you for your time, my friend.
No, thank you very much.
It's the Steve Cochran Show. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio. What are you shaking your head about now?
No,
shaking your head and disgust. What is going on?
No, I think that was great information.
It was great
information. It's just you look at some of what's happening now. High school football games on television, on national TV. I mean, it's just
Little League on ESPN around the world.
Yeah. Well, that's been going on for a while, but now they
show. But make it right.
No, but now what they're showing is not just the World Series, not just the finals, but they show the regional semis leading up to getting to Williamsport.
By the way, you know, you and I are both middle-aged guys now. And
I'm just bitter that I never had that chance, but go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. But one of the things I like to do before I stand up is rock. That way you avoid a lower back injury. Mm-hmm. So you kind of rock your way out of a chair. You'll still make the funny noise when you stand up, but you try to cover it with a cough.
It's quieter.
Right.
Yes,
it's a little
I've
bit
noticed that, yeah.
It's 6:57. More in a moment as we continue on 720 WGN.